Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I'm excited today to actually tell you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and salvation is today. Today is the day of salvation. And you know what? The Bible says that when one person gets saved, there is joy in heaven. That all of heaven rejoices when one is saved. You know, the key to great joy in our life and knowing God is not that it would just affect us, but that it would affect our communities. And so today I actually want to talk to you about this idea of joy. Beyond where we've had it before and into the new. So would you turn with me, and if you haven't got a Bible, you can look at it on the screens. Acts chapter 8. We're going to read verses 4 through to 8 together. It says this: "Therefore, those who were scattered went to everywhere preaching the word." Just to give you a bit of context, they were scattered because there was great persecution against the church. Stephen had just been stoned. He's a young man who was a deacon in the church, who loved the Lord, shared the good news of the gospel, and was stoned. And unfortunately, in that moment, his life was taken from him. But in this moment, there is a group of people who are like, hang on a second, I'm actually aware that this is what's going on. And so there's a great persecution against the church, and there's a scattering of the believers. And then it says this: "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." Now, important for you to note in that point is that he went to Samaria. Do you remember when Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria"? Samaria was the place where the Gentiles were, and those who were, you know, unbelievers. This gospel was going forth to them. And it's important to recognize that the good news left the church. The good news left Jerusalem. The good news left this place. He preached Christ to them, and with multitudes one accord, he did the things spoken by Philip, and hearing and seeing the miracles he did. For unclean spirits crying out aloud came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. It's important for you to also realize that upon preaching Jesus, there's a demonstration of miracles, deliverance, and healing. And this is the key I want to focus on today. "And there was great joy in that city." There was great joy in that city. Friends, you need to know today that the key to great joy in a city is actually Jesus in and through you. It's Jesus in and through you. I don't know if you're waiting for the professional to do it, maybe you're waiting for the pastor to do it, but friends, you need to know the key to a great joy in a city is Jesus in you. See, we're not in it for comfortable Christianity. We're not in it for convenient Christianity. But we're here because we have a call to follow Jesus. And more often than not, what I find happens in our lives is that we fall into this place that has been going since the beginning of time. The questioning of whether you can trust God. The questioning of whether you can trust God to show up in your world and in your place. You know, it started in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, and could they trust God with what he had said to them? And it follows the pattern through all of history, through the Bible. The question is, can they trust God? God turns to many of them, Joshua and Moses, "Don't be fearful, but be strong and courageous. Go and occupy the land I've given to you." There are many times where the Lord is again encouraging his people to lean in and trust him. You know, sometimes I look at the city, I don't know if it's just me, but I look at the city and I go, "God, is there any hope for our city?" Like, it seems so dark and so prevalent that is there actually hope? Like, do you ever feel like that? Like, you know him, so you've got your ticket to heaven, you're good. But what about our world? Because joy was never just meant to be for you and I. It was meant to be to make a city transform to a place of joy. And the question then comes back to us: What are we doing to bring great joy to a city? Because it's not left to the professional few, the hired few. It's left to every believer to actually share this good news. See, there are obstacles when it comes to great joy in our city. And I'll give you the number one obstacle for great joy coming to our city. Fear. Fear. What does that look like in our lives? Well, it looks like fear of the cost of association. If I preach Jesus in my workplace, then they'll align me with that group and I won't be accepted. If I preach Jesus in that place, it's going to cost me too much. I might lose my job. And so the fear of association forms in us this idea of staying comfortable in church or in our space, the sphere of influence that we live. But yet Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, actually, if you don't hate your mother or father, your brothers and sisters, or your own life even, then how can you be a follower of me? See, fear of association or the cost of association cripples many from sharing their faith. I'm going to list a few fears and maybe you'll identify with a few. But it's the same age-old question. Do we trust God? The fear of interruption to the blessed life. You know what this looks like? People being busy with life. It's going to interrupt my life if I have to go and share Jesus with someone. It's going to interrupt my day if I have to go and be a part of this activity or that activity. And it leads to people being busy with life. But yet Jesus, when he was approached by the rich young ruler, and he said, what do I have to do? And he said, well, abide by the laws and all the things. And he said, well, all those things I've done. And Jesus said, well, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you own. And go and leave that and come follow me. And he walked away disappointed because he couldn't. He couldn't get past his finance. He couldn't get past the blessed life. Well, C.T. Studd says, only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will actually last. More often than not, fear of persecution is another fear that we come up against. And these fears, they actually stop a city from receiving joy. See, persecution leaves people staying silent. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, expect fear and expect to be persecuted. Actually, the disciples had to beat this in Acts chapter 4 when they were persecuted in 4:29. They had to go back to the Lord and actually pray for boldness to fill them. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, the incredible man of God himself, even had to sit before the Lord and say, God, fill me again with boldness that I may proclaim this good news of the gospel. And he actually leans into the people of God and says, can you pray for me that I ought to preach this good news boldly? Amen. See, fear is not isolated. It's the attack of the enemy since the beginning of time. To prevent a city from being transformed, the enemy uses these tactics of fear to hold us back from bringing great joy to a city. The fear of failure. This one, couldn't tell you how much I could align to this. Do you know how many times I've been scared to have a conversation with somebody because I'm scared of not either getting it right or mixing it up? Can I just be really real with you? I've sat in hairdressers' salons and had conversations with them and then had the doorway open to a conversation and then just gone straight into a spiel because I didn't want to miss it and I didn't want to mess it up. So like a fear of failing on it, I was like, but I actually missed some of the key moments that the Lord was wanting to do. Now, maybe you're all a whole lot better than me, but Francis Chan says, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but should be succeeding at things in life that don't actually really matter. Because what happens when we get to heaven? See, people are choosing not to engage in things like sharing the good news of the gospel because it's not for me because, you know, it's for that group over there. But actually, Bible says that Apollos watered, Paul planted, and God gave the increase. The fear of getting it wrong. Again, fell into that trap with a spiel or a script, but Galatians tells us to be led by the Spirit and live by the Spirit. See, Smith Wigglesworth said, God does not call those who are equipped. He calls those whom he calls. And he equips those whom he calls. A fear of not knowing enough. Ever been there? Oh, I don't want to share that just in case they ask me a question. People being scared of questions and conversations. What happens if they ask me something I don't know the answer to? Or what if they ask me a sticky question? Luke chapter 12, verse 12 says, don't worry about what you should say because the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. See, Philip goes to this city and rather being scared out of his wits, he goes to a city without fear, without the fear of men. And I'm like, how is this possible? Because when we have a fear of people, often we think, oh, I'll just wait for the Lord to bring somebody to me. If the Lord really wants that person to encounter the gospel through me, he'll bring them to me. We've all been there. But Galatians 1:10 says, am I trying to win approval with man or with God? Am I trying to please people? If so, I would not be a servant of Christ. But the question is, do we trust God? See, I can count the scriptures that tell you, stir up the gift. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have the spirit of power. You have a sound mind. You don't have to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. Isaiah 11:3 says, you know, he delights in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 40 verse 10 says, don't fear, for I am with you and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Amen. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of men will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Amen. See, Philip rocks up to this town without fear, even though his best friend had just been stoned. Both Stephen and Philip were deacons in the church. Do you know what their role was? Just let me picture this. Great joy, a whole city gets turned upside down and saved. And guess what their role was in the church? To distribute food. The beauty of what God wants to do is reach a city through you. The key to great joy in a city is Jesus in you. For every believer to be one who would carry this good news and bring great joy to a city. Because it's not enough to have great joy in our church and have Tickle Me Elmo moments and enjoy it all, but it is actually required that we would take it outside of the four walls. You know what's really cool? Is that not only did Philip step out of the confinements that maybe man put around him and said, well, you're just a deacon, you just distribute food, but he actually allowed it not to catapult him into fear when Stephen was stoned, but to proclamation. The gospel was preached and it was amazing. For the first time, it went to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit empowered an everyday believer to evangelize and perform miracles. Perhaps, maybe, God wants to bring great joy to a city through you. Great joy to a city through you. There's many tips we can find from Philip. Acts chapter 8 turns over and actually just says to us how this was actually possible. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. You're going to see it on the screen. I'm going to read like a rabbit because that's a lot of scripture. Hopefully you can keep up. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go forth to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert. So he arose and he went. Just point, desert? I don't know if I'm signing up for that or you're signing up for that, but it's in there for a reason. Desert. Not dessert, desert. It's not a spelling error. All right? So he arose and he went, and behold, the man of Ethiopia, the eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to him, Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures in which he read and was, and then it goes on and leads, he was a sheep led to the slaughter, a lamb before the shearer is silent. He opened up his mouth, humiliation was justice was taken away. He was declared his generation, but his life was taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask him, whom does the prophet say about himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. And as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip asked, do you believe? With all your heart, you may. And so he answered and said, I believe Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Cool. Just a side note. And the eunuch saw him no more and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Antioch and was passing through, and he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So he didn't stop at the one, but he made sure that he was intentional with the one. We're going to talk a little bit about the learnings from Philip, because I believe that Philip is a key character in the Bible that actually speaks to us everyday believers in how to bring the good news, to turn a city upside down, and to bring great joy to a city. Do you want to see our city turn upside down? Do you actually want to see light break forth in the darkness? Because I'm telling you, there are opportunities in our city like never before. Because Jesus didn't come just to save a few. He came to save the world. He's not desiring that any would perish, but that all would know him. And how did he choose to leave his mission? He left it to a 12 to distribute it to us. And now we find ourselves here together in church. Friend, you are a key to seeing great joy break out in this city. Because Jesus is in you. So, what can we learn from Philip? Well, firstly, if we go back to these passages of Scripture, we'll always see that Holy Spirit will lead you to someone who needs Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit was at work in Philip's life, but it was a decision that Philip had to make to partner with what the Holy Spirit was doing. See, the Holy Spirit will always lead you to someone who needs Jesus. And you know what? What's really cool is more often than not, it's the person, you're the person that they need to see Jesus through. If they came to you, Jesus wants to use you. If they're in your sphere of influence, Jesus wants to use you. And it says this, it says, Philip arose and went down towards the south. He listened to the Holy Spirit to the point of direction. He didn't stay in a place where he saw great and mighty breakthroughs, deliverance, healings, and manifestations of the presence of God. He didn't stay in that place. He went on as he was called. And he went to a place that was really uncomfortable. It was a desert. And yet, he's eager to lean into what God's doing. It says he arose and he went. And then in verse 29, it says, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And as he did, in verse 30, it says, Philip ran to him. How eager are you and I when it comes to a conversation with somebody and we feel the Lord pressing on our hearts? How eager are we to actually lean into those things? Because it's in those moments that actually God wants to bring a breakthrough. But what it's dependent on is you and I living in obedience to his promptings. That's what's required. See, the thing about Philip is that he actually kept his eyes and his ears open. When he ran, when the Lord said go, he ran. And as he got there, he heard the eunuch reading from Scripture. His eyes were open, his ears were open to what are you doing, Holy Spirit, in this moment? How can I partner with what you want to do in this moment? And you know what the best thing was? He was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being observant to him, he actually asked the question that provoked an answer that then created a conversation of engagement. And he answers the questions. Do you know, more often than not, when we're scared of asking questions, we pull back, but that's actually the moment in which God wants to bring revelation of who he is into someone's world and life. He's looking for us to engage in conversations and ask questions. And what's crazy is that we actually don't have to be afraid of people's questions. We don't have to be defensive to their questions. You're not there to look for a fight. You're there to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to see? And how do you want me to behave in this moment? How can I be Jesus in this situation? The next thing I notice is that Philip is actually caring enough to converse and have a genuine conversation. And you know what's really cool is that when you're genuinely interested and invested into someone's life, they'll invite you to come closer. Because that's exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch did. He invited him up and said, hey, come up here. And you get invited closer when you look for authentic, genuine connection with people. The other thing is this, he did the journey with him. It says down here that after he preached Jesus with him, it says in verse 36, he went down the road and they came to some water. And then the eunuch asked more questions. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip says, hey, if you believe in your heart, there's nothing that stops you. See, the journey is important to answering questions, but also taking people to the next point of decision. It's calling people higher and bringing people to a place where their confession actually matches up to their actions through water baptism. And friends, this is what brings great joy to a city. When we walk and talk and live being led by the Spirit. Do you know, if you all just had one conversation this year, one conversation with somebody this year where the Lord led you, do you know that you would change a family, a generation, and a community? One person leads to great joy in a city. Whew. Imagine for a minute your workplace, your home, your school, your community, the places in which you dwell and live that he called you to be in. Imagine for a minute what would happen if you shared Jesus. You know what's really cool is God will actually use all things. I've got three different stories that I'm going to share with you in this moment. And they actually leave me astounded. And you know what? What I believe personally is today we had decisions made and actual public declarations of those decisions took place today in our service. And that brings great joy to heaven, but it brings great joy to the families that they're in. It brings great joy to the people that they are associated with and in spheres of influence with. But they're all lives that were changed and they all have a testimony. And what's incredible is a testimony is honoring what God has done through your life when Jesus came in. And when you share that with someone, it's absolutely powerful. I had this conversation with someone last weekend. They told me how they came to church, how they came to faith. I said, hey, how did you get here? Introduced themselves. I had a conversation with them. I found out that they had a Christian friend. And I said, oh, that's amazing. She said, yeah, so how I came to know Jesus was my friend and I were talking. And as we were talking, she recognized that there was some stuff going on in my life. And she asked me if her husband could pray for me. Her husband prayed for her on the phone. She started to experience a full manifestation of deliverance in her life. And God did something. Then again, something happened in her life. That friend has a conversation with her and says, hey, can my husband pray for you? Prays for her. She experiences another form of deliverance in her life and comes to a radical encounter with Jesus. History, context, new age, whole thing, background, huge. But in one moment, because somebody said, "Can I pray for you?" something shifted and changed. You know what's wild? She went to another church, and this is not to minimize other churches or other denominations, but she went into a church, she started to share about what had happened. They didn't know how to deal with deliverance. They were like, we do discipleship. And didn't know how to deal with the deliverance component. So you know what happens? The Lord speaks to her and says, look up on the internet the word repentance. She looks up the word repentance and begins to come into a full revelation of who Jesus is, into a full repentance. And you know the first church that popped up? Pneuma Church. So she came to Pneuma Church. Friends, I'm telling you, if you don't do your job, not only will the rocks cry out and scream out and do your job, but actually God will use IT and he'll use it. Check this out. Another chick came to church today. She got on the phone, ChatGPT. Where's a cool church with hip young people? Walk through the front doors of church today. Come on, I'm telling you right now, there are stories after stories after stories of lives being changed because God wants to use a church to reach a city. And friend, I'm telling you today, he's knocking on the door of your heart to say, if you don't do it, I'll take it elsewhere and we'll do it elsewhere, or I'm going to bring them in here and you're going to get really uncomfortable because you're going to have to disciple people instead of being really comfortable in church. Another one looked up on the internet to try and find out about a church and where they should go, and they ended up coming here. This is all within the last 8 days. I've got stories coming out our ears of people finding Jesus. They come in here with a friend, or a friend told them about Jesus, or they meet someone down the street that begins to tell them about Jesus. But you know what the most common thread is? There's a hole in people's hearts longing for Jesus. And the key to a great joy breaking out in our city is you. It's Jesus in and through you. Our church could be turned completely upside down if each of our city. Imagine our city as our church. That'd be pretty cool. Anyway, our city would be turned upside down. Each of us just went after one. So what can you do? What can you do? You can go out to your city. Philip went to his Samaria, you go to yours. And ask the Lord, where's my Samaria? What are you calling me to? And if you've exhausted your list and you're like, I've been a Christian for 50 years and all my friends are Christians and all my world is Christians, let us help you. We have a bunch of connections into the community that are actually bringing about real change. I'm going to invite some people to share some stories with us in just a moment. The second thing you do with this is look for your one. The city will be one, one by one. You've got to pray, you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit, you've got to obey his leadings and be observant. And all I can say to you, friend, is it'll make a difference. If you are just looking for your one, you know that husband and wife I told you about, that the friend came to them and chatted to them and he just prayed for her and deliverance came? What happens if he had have said, you know what, I don't feel like that's my thing to pray? Or they might get offended if I pray for them. See, if we make excuses, we miss the opportunities. Can't let fear hold us back. We need to engage. The third thing is this, engage your one. Please, this is not a marketing scam. This is not a sales role. This is genuine conversation for the purpose of connection, caring, and conversing with somebody. We need to ensure that we actually do the journey with people. And as we do genuinely engage, they will invite us to come closer in. The fourth thing is this, preach Jesus to your one. How do you preach Jesus to your one? Start off by getting your testimony sorted out. And if you don't know how to tell your story or what the gospel is and how to articulate that in four key points, then come and have a conversation with us. Because sometimes all you'll get is 3 minutes with somebody, but that's enough for the Lord to go to work. Yeah. But you need to be able to share your story to make a difference. So what can you do? Go to your city, look for the one, engage the one, preach Jesus to your one, and I promise you this, it'll bring great joy to a city. Why do we have a population on incline not knowing Jesus and a church population on decline? It's because the everyday believer has lost the ability to share the good news of the gospel. They've left it to the church, the professional ones, or just invite them to church and the church will get them saved and the church will disciple them, forgetting that you are the church. Friend, we have a job to do. We're not here for consumer Christianity. We're not here just to have Holy Ghost joy moments on their own and in isolation of great joy being sent to a city. He wants to use you. I just did some weird leg jig. That is so weird. He wants to use you to reach this city. He wants to use you. And Jesus in you is what makes a difference. So I'm going to invite a few friends to actually give us the opportunity to partner with what God wants to do in and through this city. At this time of year, it is lean in to all things gospel proclamation and kingdom advancement. We've got some amazing things happening in and through ministries in the life of this church, but also through the individuals who just desired to go do something great for Jesus. So I'm going to invite Kane to come up, and he is going to... Kane is our evangelism pastor here at City, and he does a phenomenal job reaching into a world with mission, both locally and globally. He does DTN, but he is an incredible man of God with a heart to see our community transformed. And he's going to share with you the things that we have and invite a few people to come up along the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kane.
Awesome. Well, church, as a community, we have so many different spheres of society that we are reaching. And we want to just share a couple, highlight a couple of them with you today so that you know the outreach that is happening across Melbourne and across our nation. And maybe if God's tugging on your heart to be a part of something, you could reach out to some of these people that we're going to invite up today. And so, Jess, do you want to come and join me on stage? And Pastor Thomas, if you're around too. And these guys are going to share about some areas that God is moving in our city. Also, Victoria, come and join me. So great, come on up. First, we're going to hear about how God is reaching uni students across our city. And I want to welcome Jess.
Thank you. Something that Pastor Sheree said earlier about like feeling fear of persecution or fear of being able to speak up. Something that I've had the privilege of doing is empowering our university students to speak up in their campus. And it's really scary when you're in an environment that is so different and so opposite to the church environment to step up and share your faith. But if you speak to any of our university leaders, they will tell you that they've gone from being silent in their campus to actually being bold and sharing through continual prayer week on week, praying over their campus and also practicing evangelizing. So if you're a uni student, we want to empower you to share the gospel on your campus. We want to empower you to pray over your campus. But if you're someone that has a heart for these people, we also do Red Frogs, which is a ministry where we go into student colleges and residences and just get to serve these young people, and we show them first that we care and that God loves them. And through that care, then they ask questions and we get to share the gospel with them.
So good, Jess. Pastor Thomas, share with us how we're reaching people across our city through the youth ministry.
Yeah, about 8 months ago, the Lord put on my heart and my wife's heart to start an initiative that we're calling Open House. Essentially, teenagers were walking past the church on a Friday afternoon, and half of them didn't even know it was a church. And we had a space that was free. We had some people that were available. And so we're like, well, let's just open up youth a little bit earlier. So we hang out with a whole bunch of young people straight after school on a Friday. Many of them, for that, they would be going and hanging out at the shops and kind of causing a bit of a ruckus and that sort of thing. And a couple of things around that, we've had over the 8 months, we have had about 82 individuals come through that space. We have regularly about 30 to 35, mainly boys that come through, play basketball and just chat to the guys. One specific testimony from last year, one of the boys by the name of Dale, he'd been coming for a while. He left at kind of 5 p.m. to go home, realized when he got home, he didn't have his keys to get home into his house. His mum was nowhere to be seen. Couldn't go to his dad's place because he had actually been kicked out of his dad's place. And so it got to about 6:30, almost 7 o'clock. It was bucketing down with rain. And he remembered, where I was just before, they have a Friday night program. So he rocks up at 7 o'clock to youth for the first time. And he was like, I just remember that this place was a safe place to be. And so we had a service night, he heard the gospel. He wasn't saved on that night, but it's led to a bunch of conversations as he's come in, week out, asking the guys, what's this about? So yeah, it's been great. And we need people. Honestly, we need people in that space. So if you're free on a Friday afternoon, as well as a Thursday afternoon, we're looking at something as well. So if you're free from about 2 p.m. on either of those days, please, please come and see me. But I'd love to have a chat.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to introduce Victoria, and she's going to share on how we're reaching women across our city.
Yes. So sweet, beautiful Abby Solomon actually started this, and I'm just get to partner with her on it. But she really had it on her heart to start going into the brothels and the strip clubs and the massage parlors, specifically here in Richmond. So we've had a wonderful team, Judy Ferguson, who's actually at the East Campus, and I now lead a team once a month of women going and just giving gifts to people in the brothels, to the, you know, madams, to the pimps, to whoever, it doesn't matter. And we just love on people. And a story that I just really want to quickly share about this is, Cherie's kind of put it so eloquently about the intentionality of the one. And God is so intentional with the one, especially these women, and he's not scared of them. He's not scared to go in there and love on them. And a story that's just been wrecking me is, I just recently got back from America a couple months ago. And when I was at customs here in Melbourne, I actually got pulled over and they thought that I was being trafficked. So they're going through my suitcase, they're looking through everything and asking me all these really peculiar questions. And so they start to see in my suitcase all my Jesus things, basically. But the one thing that really stood out to them was I had a speaker list. And the speaker list said, Global Summit to End Sexual Exploitation, speaker, Victoria. And the gentleman goes to me, oh, wait, so you're on our team, you're not one of them. And I was like, yeah. And so he starts word vomiting to me. This is how intentional God is. Wow. About all of the women who are currently being trafficked in our city. Wow. And how every single week they're saving about 5 Japanese women who are coming from Japan to work in the brothels. And it gets better. So then a couple weeks later, I actually work in Christian sex education. It's one of the things that I do. And I was taking over a job for this girl. So small interaction with this girl that I met who I was taking over from. And I'm telling her this story of, babe, you'll never guess what. It was crazy. And she goes, huh, I really have it on my heart to do this. And I've just started learning Japanese. And I said, come to the brothels with us. First brothel we go into, and Tia gets to talk to these 2 girls who have been trafficked from Japan. She gets to speak in their native language to them, and the way these women's faces lit up just to hear their language. And we got to go in and say that this is just a gift for you because we love you. Nothing else. And so I just hope that that really kind of emphasizes the intentionality of God, all the threads that he puts together for the one. And if it wasn't for us stepping out and doing these things, these beautiful women wouldn't just have a moment of just knowing that they matter and that they're seen. So if that's on your heart to come out with us, we go once a month and we just love on women. We give them gifts. We kind of go wherever God leads us, and it's really joyful and it's really sweet. So yeah, come chat if you want to come hang.
Come on. Praise God. So, so good. Pastor Erin, why don't you share how we are reaching people in our city through healing rooms?
So cool. So yeah, we have healing rooms that are running once a month. We're starting up in April, at the start of April, but some beautiful testimonies. It's not a space that's just for believers. We have a lot of people who bring family or friends or colleagues that need healing. And we had 2 amazing people get saved through healing rooms last year. It was just beautiful to see them encounter Jesus. One of them came because the person who brought them was a believer. They had come to healing rooms previously and received like a miraculous healing that happened in the moment for an injury that they couldn't be healed from. They'd been waiting many months, lots of medical intervention, and then God radically healed them. And so when they went back to work, they were no longer like limping. And so this colleague was like, wow, like what happened? And so they were actually, I'm just like, yes, in that moment, you know, when you have that moment of like, oh, okay, I get to tell the Jesus story. Like, what do I say? And how do I say this? And had the boldness to actually witness in their workplace about what had happened. I went to healing rooms, etc. This colleague shared, oh, that's amazing. I actually have this other injury in this other space, and it just, like, doctors say there's no solution for it. And so with the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives you in those moments, invited this colleague. They said, look, it's coming next month. I'll take you if you want. Like, we can get some coffee afterwards. Do you want to come? They said yes. They came and just really encountered, like, the love of Jesus, first of all, through just the ministry team that greeted them at the door. They felt so welcome. They came in. Jesus touched them. And then at the very end, there was a lot of, like, just freedom in general, not just from healing, but from all sorts of other things. They asked if they're like, this is Jesus. Like, would you like to accept him into your heart? And they're like, yes, we love Jesus. So they were just, like, encountered him, healed. And then we're able to give them a Bible pack. And that person has now continued to disciple their colleague where they are in their workplace and, yeah, do the journey with them. So, yeah, we love that we get to open up a space where maybe people would feel a bit intimidated to come on a Sunday. But if your colleague or your friend at uni or your friend at work is like, has something that you can actually, like, use for good to help them encounter Jesus, invite them along. It's a really chill space for people. Like, you just feel the presence of the Lord. I feel like we don't even really say much often. It's just like God ministers to people as they just come with even a, like, I don't know if God can heal me, but, like, I'm willing to come. It's like that's all the faith that he needs. And he just loves to meet them in that space. So, yeah, if you would like to be part of Healing Rooms team, you can come and see me afterwards and we can have a chat. I'd love to speak with you.
It's so good. Praise God. And before these guys go, there are two more ways I want to share with you that you can engage in outreach in our city. There's many more, but I'll just highlight two more with you. First is street teams. We put together a team of people that go out probably about once a month into the city, and they evangelize and share Jesus with the people of the city of Melbourne. Oftentimes we'll go to special events or conferences that are happening, places where people are gathering, and we have testimony after testimony of people's bodies being healed on the streets of Melbourne, of people being saved, coming out of nightclubs, people encountering the love of God in dark spaces. We've heard testimonies of people bringing their families to church because someone went out with a group of people on the streets of Melbourne on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and they shared Jesus. Now, the cool thing is, if you're new to evangelism, if you're new to sharing about Jesus on the streets, you can join a team where we go together in groups of two or three. And so if you're interested in stepping out and learning with a team, you can register for street teams. We would love to empower you and partner with you in doing that. And then lastly is Discipleship Foundations. Discipleship Foundations covers things like Alpha, the Alpha course, and also the Purple Book Discipleship Training. And so these two areas of ministry are for new believers, but also those who are yet to believe. They're coming into spaces like Alpha and hearing the gospel. We register Alpha on the Alpha website, and people who are just thinking about Jesus or searching about Jesus, they find out that there's an Alpha course running at Pneuma Church. They come along, and maybe some of you are even in the room today, didn't even know that this church existed, but you attended an Alpha and discovered your Savior Jesus. Purple Book as well, where we train and equip people into the foundations of discipleship. If you'd like to join one of those teams, if you would like to join with any of these outreaches that are happening, find out more information, or even just partner and support them in what they're doing, then on the back of the seats, we have a QR code. You can scan the QR code and find some of these ministries listed here. But also after the service, I'm going to invite these beautiful people to stick around around near the altar and up the front of the church here. If you're interested in finding out more information or you want to partner with them, come around after the service, come and find some of these people, and we'd be happy to connect you in to some of these areas of ministry. Isn't it exciting to see what God's doing in our city? Praise God. Thanks, team. I'm going to pass back to Pastor Cherie.
So, church, this is what brings great joy to a city. Jesus in and through you. That's right. Many of you have workplaces, schools, communities that you're a part of, and there's people in your world that need to know Jesus. And I encourage you, seek the Lord and ask him what your role is in that space and how to bring Jesus into the conversations you're having. But the last part is exactly that. We have opportunities for you to engage in, for you to grow in sharing your faith, for you to grow in showing the love of Jesus to a city that needs it. And there is so much need that we can't meet it. Every church across the city needs to partner with what God wants to do. and we're one of many. But we can make a difference and see great joy come to a city when we partner with what he wants to do. There are young people on the other end of your involvement that will come to know Jesus. There are women who are waiting to be loved in a way that is right and can find that through you. There are so many spaces and places, and we have not even listed them all. I know that there are others here who work in sports chaplaincy and have the opportunity to work in different spaces that you can volunteer in. I know that there are other organizations like Indeed that run and reach refugees. There are other organizations like 1,000 Generations who are connected in through in the life of this church that have ministries that are meeting people right where they're at and connecting them to Jesus. Friends, this is what we're here for. We exist to reach a world that needs to know Jesus. We enjoy the benefits of fellowship, but our mission and our purpose is to take the good news of the gospel that saved you and I, that changed you and I, and give that to somebody else. Will you pray and partner with what God wants to do this year? Don't sit back and just come to church and attend. That's consumer Christianity. Partner with what God wants to do. Amen? Hey, why don't you stand to your feet? And would you just make yourself available to the Lord right now? I'm just going to take a quick moment to pray for you because I believe that there are catalytic moments in our journeys with God where, like Philip, he realized that I'm not just destined to distribute food, but I'm actually destined to preach this good news. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you your role and your part to play. So if you'd open up your hands and make yourself open to him. God, I thank you for your presence in this room right now. I thank you, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, have awoken and spoken to people's hearts in a way that only you can do. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take each individual and help them to recognize that they are the key to great joy breaking in a city and out of a city because Jesus, you are in them. And so, Lord, I'm asking, speak to them. Let them be like Philip, who would hear your voice and obey and step in to reaching and connecting and conversing and caring for people across our city. And may joy be not only the expression that is found in this house, but outside of this house, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step. and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.